Professor Francis Boyle from the University of Illinois. Professor Boyle, the UN Security Council adopted the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action. People on the right are attacking it as too soft. People on the mainstream liberal side are defending it. Does either side have it right?
Well, basically, I've read through both the Security Council resolution and the Joint Comprehensive Program of Action, and not that I am an Obama supporter. You can find that out on the Google if you want to, but basically Obama and Kerry are telling the truth, but not all the truth. All the truth is that the snapback provisions have been set up in such a way so that, say, 5 to 10 years down the line, after Iran has dismantled the guts of its nuclear infrastructure, the United States could always concoct some bogus pretext in order to get the sanctions reimposed, that is, snapped back. That's very clear if you read the documents.
Do you think that was intended to basically appease the right wing, the critics who are afraid of Iran?
No, I think that was intended all along. Again, I'm not an Obama-Kerry supporter, but Kerry is saying that this package is based upon the U.S. version of the Lausanne Agreement and not the Iranian version. And he is correct about that, that basically the Iranians had pretty much capitulated to the United States' position across the board, but not completely. They will keep the rudiments of a nuclear infrastructure as they are permitted under the Nuclear Nonproliferation Act, but nothing more than that. So I think pretty much the Iranians have gone along with this. You have to understand, under two presidents ago, Khatami, before Ahmadinejad, with the approval of Ayatollah Khamenei, the current Ayatollah, he sent a demarche over to the United States government at that time under the Bush administration, basically offering a complete accommodation with the interests of the United States of America across the board on almost everything if these sanctions were to be removed. That demarche was rejected by President Bush and Vice President Cheney. So what has happened here is the new people now in Iran elected under President Rouhani used to work for Khatami. We're seeing the Iranian government pretty much deciding to accommodate the interests of the United States. As I see it on their part, this is basically an exercise in regime preservation against the external pressures and internal pressures. They're willing to pretty much capitulate here, not completely, but pretty much, in order to stay in power. In my opinion, it's really on their part a triumph of hope over experience, because look what we did to Gaddafi over there. He gave up his nuclear equipment, which wasn't very much, just sitting in a warehouse, and then Obama stabbed him in the back and waged war against Libya, bombed Libya, murdered Gaddafi, and destroyed that country. So, that is possible, under this agreement if 5 to 10 years down the line is Iran is not sufficiently compliant with the wishes of the United States government when Obama has left power.
You know, I was going to ask if you thought that capitulation was too strong a word, but you said you actually said it yourself before I could. Do you think that
it's not total capitulation? Because, you know, if you read the I don't read Persian, but I do read the English translation of the news media coming out of there. Their foreign minister is correct to say that they have preserved the rudiments of their nuclear industry, nuclear infrastructure from beginning to end, as permitted under the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty. And as you know, years ago when these things started, these negotiations, the Bush administration demanded that it all be dismantled, all of it. Well, all of it is not dismantled, but what is left is, you know, quite minimal, pretty much almost de minimis in terms of nuclear infrastructure once the package is implemented. And I regret to put it this way, but a future administration could still stab them in the back if it wanted to. Now, Obama is not saying that for obvious reasons, but that is in there.
And he is only there for another year and a half. Do you think that other nations, particularly in the in that region, are going to view this as capitulation?
Well, certainly, you know, the Israelis have first-rate international lawyers. I've dealt with many of them. And they can read these documents as well as I do, and I'm sure have briefed about what it really means. So my interpretation is that Netanyahu is making a fuss here in order to extort more weapons, equipment, supplies, and money out of the United States. As for and I think the Europeans, you know, they're interested in making money there in Iran, so they don't really care. They're already sending their emissaries over there now today as we speak to Tehran to line up business deals. What the Saudis and the other Arabs believe about this, I really don't know. Understand. The official language of all these documents is in English. The complex technical legalese, you have to be fluent in English and, you know, trained at one of the top American law schools to figure out what these documents mean. So I really can't say what, you know, the Arab states there, Saudi Arabia and the Gulf, are thinking one way or the other. But I knowing is the Israeli international lawyers, I think they can read it as well as I can.
Now, do you think this will make it easier for the U.S. or more difficult when it comes to dealing with, for instance, Syria or ISIS or any of the other, you know, I mean, more trust, less
right.
trust?
Right. If you go back and read the original Démarche by President Khatami, two presidents ago, it is clear Iran indicated that they were willing to accommodate the interests of the United States across the board. And at that time, that meant the Palestinians, Iraq, Hezbollah, and now today Syria. So I suspect we will be seeing Iran starting to accommodate the interests of the United States. That, you know, that doesn't mean they're going to become our lackey or anything like that. But I suspect as this develops, we will see in Afghanistan too. As you know, we're going to. I do not support us keeping 10,000 troops in Afghanistan. But I suspect Iran will be cooperating on that as well.
The Pew Research Center released results of a poll just earlier today showing that a majority of Americans seem to disapprove of the deal. Actually, 14% gave no opinion. So it's less than half of the country that less than half of those surveyed disapproved, and a lower number approve.
Well, again, I've been working all day, and I'm sorry I haven't read that report, but with all due respect, there's just so much disinformation out there on what these documents say, really say, that it does not surprise me that the public opinion at this point does not support them. Again, we have to understand the domestic political context in which this debate is now playing out, with the 2016 election season already upon us. The Republicans are beating up on this for this for two reasons. One, they have a Christian fundamentalist base that they need to appeal to, and Israel is very important to that Christian fundamentalist base. So they want to make it appear to their Christian fundamentalist base that they are more protective of Israel than the Democrats. Likewise, the Republicans, for at least the last election, maybe two, are trying to lop off as many Jewish voters as they can from the Democratic Party. By arguing that they are more supportive of Israel than the Democrats. I don't know if they'll succeed at that one because, Jews are liberal people. I don't know if they're going to buy off on the rest of the Republican agenda. I'm a political independent myself. But that is the strategy on the side of the members of Congress in the Republican Party and all of their news media and pundits that you're seeing today. I go home at night and flip on the cable news programs and this, that, and the other thing, and that's what you're hearing. But it's all political between you and me. As for the Democrats, my guess is at the end of the day, they will go along with President Obama. As for the Republican leadership in Congress, I suspect that they have been told on a confidential basis by the Obama administration that 5 to 10 years from now, when Iran has almost completely dismantled its nuclear infrastructure, we can still stab them in the back if we want to. So at the end of the day, and a lot of huffing and puffing and this, that, and the other thing, I suspect that the package will go through one way or the other through Congress on our side. The real problem here is over in Iran. I've been following the press reports coming out of Iran. Again, I don't read Farsi, but translated into English, and it does appear that their leadership is basically lying to their people and to their parliament, the Majlis, about what these documents say. The official version of the documents are in English. And so they can say whatever they want in Farsi and Persian, and who's to know the difference? And you'd have to be not only a fluent English speaker, but you would have to be a trained professional international lawyer, having graduated at one of the top law schools in the United States, to figure out exactly what these documents say. And that's just putting aside the all the nuclear engineering part. I'm just talking about the legalese. So what I'm reading right now in the Iranian press is that the government over there is pretty much lying to their people about what these documents mean. So, you know, overall, that means why I get back that I believe if you go back and have a look at those Lausanne documents, what was agreed upon, the Iranian version and Secretary of State Kerry's version, it's clear Secretary of State Kerry was correct. The Iranians agreed to all of it, and that's all in this package of documents, and even more so. So I wouldn't say it's a total Iranian capitulation. They have preserved the bare rudiments of a nuclear infrastructure, which they are permitted to do under the Nuclear Nonproliferation Act.
All right. Well, Professor, thank you so much. I've been speaking with Professor Francis Boyle. He's a professor at the University of Illinois College of Law. We've been discussing the Iran Nuclear Agreement, also called the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action, which was approved by the UN Security Council Monday evening. This is Doug McVeigh with KBOO News.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor, along with North Portland Community Building Group, Proper, of the We Can Do It Together community concert. Local politicians, community activists, faith groups, and artists will join in a day of unity, song, and prayer in Kenton Park on Saturday, August 8th, from 4 p.m. to 9 p.m. This concert will feature a variety of local artists that will rally for unity in this time of unrest. Again, that's the We Can Do It Together community concert, Saturday, August 8th, from 4 p.m. to 9 p.m. at Kenton Park